It's a blessing to see everyone this Lord's Day morning as we assemble together as God's people to worship Him as He is dictated in His Word, in spirit, and in truth. We have a good number of visitors with us this morning from different places, some on their way back home from camp, headed back to Alabama. We have some other visitors in our midst from North Carolina who worship with the church there in Newton. I held a gospel meeting there a few years ago, and it's a good, solid group there, doing a lot of good work spreading the word there with a unique opportunity with a television program, and they're having success with that. And it's good to see them again as they've come our way to visit with us this Lord's Day morning. In most of our classes this morning, we were talking about Abraham. We're talking about how he is a great man of faith, and we looked at some different examples of his obedience, but we didn't look at one of the greatest examples of his obedience and the extent to which he was willing to obey God, and that is found in Genesis chapter 22, when God calls upon Abraham to offer up his long-awaited-for son Isaac as a sacrifice to him. Let's start reading. We're going to read through a good portion of this chapter to set before our minds just what it is that Abraham has done, and then we're going to use that as an opportunity to look at his faith. And we're going to pick out some specific lessons that we need to learn about faith from Abraham. And of course, we need to apply these lessons to our own lives today. Genesis chapter 22, let's start at verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took hold the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord cried to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. The nation of Israel, the nation through which God brought the Savior into the world, began with Abraham. What was it that qualified Abraham for this great honor to be the father of this nation? The scriptures tell us that it is his faith. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11 has a lot to say about faith and gives us a biblical description or explanation of what faith is. Abraham is found in a good portion of this chapter talking about faith. Many Bible students recognize Hebrews 11 and verse 1 as a biblical definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or as one has put it, faith is unshakable belief and undeniable truth, even though there isn't the physical evidence there that we would hope for or maybe that we would demand that we have on other occasions. We believe in God, although we have not seen Him. We believe that He spoke this world into existence, although we were not there to see it. We believe that the tomb was found empty, although we're 2,000 years too late to investigate that with our own eyes, with our own senses. We believe in those facts. We believe. That is faith. But faith is more than just belief. Faith is also, verse 6 goes on to tell us, faith is also trust, trusting in God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So the kind of faith that God is looking for is a mixture of these two components. It is first belief, belief in things that we can't see, belief simply because God has told us. But secondly, there is that trust, that we're going to trust what God says, that we're going to trust in His promises. We're going to trust Him to reward those who are faithful. It takes faith to have fellowship with God. Abraham was a man who had enough faith that he is called the friend of God in James chapter 2 and verse 23. So if we're going to learn about faith, if we're going to learn about how to please God with our faith, how to walk in the fear of the Lord and please Him as a faithful child of His, we can look unto Abraham and we can follow his example. I want us to consider the faith of Abraham. Five things that we need to point out about his faith, that we can learn about his faith, and that we can take from this place, and it can help us to serve God as more faithful servants. Number one, as we look at the life of Abraham, we see that he had an unlimited faith. By that I mean his ability to believe in God is apparently, it appears to be without any limitation. He's called upon to believe in some incredible things. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, at the age of 75, Abraham is called upon to leave his family and his home and everything that he knows and go into a strange land. As we pointed out in the adult class this morning, most people are well settled into retirement by the age of 75, and Abraham steps out and starts all over with his life. Sometimes I hear older Christians saying, you know, let somebody else do it. I've done it enough. I'm finished. I'm through. Let somebody else do it. That wasn't Abraham's attitude. He was willing to obey. It took faith and it took courage for him to leave everything that he knew and to go and to obey God. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 3 through 6, Abraham had left his family. He was getting old. He had no children of which a nation would come in fulfillment to those promises that God had made unto him. And he complained that a servant would be his heir. And God told him that a son would come from his own body to be his heir. And not only that, but his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of heaven. He had no children at all. And he was told that his descendants would be innumerable. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, we see that a son was to come from Abraham. It was to come from his body, but it was also to come from his wife Sarah. So instead of giving him her handmaiden, as she had done in chapter 16, no, she was to be the mother of his child through whom the descendants would come. Genesis chapter 18, starting at verse 9, then they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She didn't believe. She laughed. She ridiculed at the idea. But Abraham believed. Abraham believed even when his wife didn't. Abraham's faith was unlimited. It continued. In chapter 21, after the son finally is born, after waiting 25 years, Isaac is born. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Sarah didn't believe it was going to happen, but Abraham believed. You see, Abraham's faith was unlimited. When God told him to leave his home, he left. When God told him his descendants would be as the stars of heaven, he believed. When God told him that his wife, in her old age, would bear him a son, he believed it. How is it that Abraham had this kind of faith? In Genesis chapter 18 and at verse 14, the question is asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham understood the answer to that question, no. It might be impossible to me, it might seem impossible to me, but nothing is too impossible for God. Abraham's faith was unshakable because he believed in the God who could do anything. Now the question for us this morning, do we believe in the God who can do anything? Do we believe in the God who has the power to do those things which we cannot? We need to have that unlimited faith. And also, Abraham, as we go through his life that's recorded for us there in Genesis, we see that Abraham had an unshakable faith. Now, everyone's faith is going to be tested. Satan loves to test faith. He loves to put things before us to get us to stop believing, to stumble, and to fall. A faith can do many great things, some of them good and some of them bad. Take a look here at what the scriptures say that can happen, or that faith can do, or that can happen to faith that is bad, that is of a negative sense. Faith can fail. Luke chapter 22, verse 23. Faith can be made void. It can be weak. It can be in vain. Faith can be faked. That is, it can be insincere. One can suffer shipwreck their faith. Someone's faith can be overthrown. James chapter 2, of course, talks about faith being dead. So as we go through life and as we are facing the storms and the trials of life, these kind of things can happen to our faith if we allow it. Abraham faced many challenges as he was walking by faith in that land of promise, as he was walking after God's command. He faced many challenges, but they did not destroy his faith. They did not diminish his faith. In fact, we see that his faith becomes stronger. And that's the way that God has planned it. God allows our faith to be tested. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we know that he limits Satan's temptations. He doesn't allow any of us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. But he allows us to be tempted. He allows us to be tested because muscles have to be exercised in order to be made strong. And faith has to be exercised and faith has to be challenged in order to be made strong. Look in the book of Romans at chapter 4, verses 16 through 24. Here, Paul takes the testing of Abraham's faith, especially with regard to a child that would be born to him, a son that would be born to him in his old age, and uses it as the example of the kind of faith that will justify us before God. Romans chapter 4, let's start at verse 16. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, so that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. If we are people of faith, we are the children of Abraham. Not fleshly, not genetically, but spiritually. We are the children of Abraham. That's the point Paul is making here. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. That statement is made about Abraham. Abraham had absolutely no physical reason to believe that he and Sarah would have a child. The Bible says they were well past that age of childbearing. Against hope, there was no reason to hope in this, but Abraham believed. Even when others wouldn't, even when his wife didn't believe, Abraham clung to hope based on nothing more than the fact that God said it would happen. Against hope and hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations. according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Get verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he, that is God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Get these points about Abraham's faith, how unshakable it was. He had no reason to believe this, but going against reason, going against hope, he believed it simply because God said it was so. And he trusted in God. He was convinced that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. No physical reason to believe it. But God said it, so he knew it was going to happen. And God said, that's the man that I can make a nation out of. That's the man that I will have fellowship with. He had belief in God's promise. Now, God has not promised us that we will have children at any age. That's not the promise that our faith is based upon. That our hope, that our conviction is based upon, ours is based upon verse 25, or verse 24, rather, that Jesus has risen from the dead. And we believe that that tomb is empty. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and the promise connected with that is that we will be saved from our sins, and we will be raised from the dead as well. That's impossible. You and I are powerless to do anything about that ourselves. We cannot remove our sins, and we cannot conquer death. But I believe God will, because he said he was going to do it. And that's faith. That's that kind of faith. And that's how we are as children of Abraham. If we walk by faith, believing in God, a lot of things can happen in this life. Satan is going to put a lot of things in front of us to get us to lose focus, to get us to lose our hope, to get us to lose our faith. That we have that victory awaiting us. But our faith needs to be strong, and it needs to be unshakable, as was our father Abraham's faith. We see also, number three, that Abraham's faith was great because it was a shared faith. It wasn't just his own. He shared it with others. Now, he was a stranger in a foreign land, and he didn't have a lot of interaction with the foreigners there who were there. But the people who were within his circle of influence, his family, eventually his family, and also his servants who were in his household, he had a great influence over them. And no doubt taught them great things about God, not only verbally with his instruction, but especially with his example. In Genesis chapter 17, we see that Abraham is given the covenant of circumcision. And the instruction is given that after a male child is born on the eighth day, he is to be circumcised. But you know, Abraham didn't just put that into practice beginning at that day going forward only with those who were to be born. It says that that day Abraham was circumcised. His son Ishmael, who was 13, was. And every male within his house, all his servants, were. What kind of faith he had that he was able to have that influence over those within his household to follow after that example. We also have in Genesis chapter 22 and at verse 7, when Abraham and Isaac are going up the mountain where he is going to sacrifice his son Isaac. We're not told how old Isaac is, but he's big enough to carry wood up the side of a mountain that can be burned underneath an altar to consume a sacrifice. He's not a little boy carrying a bundle of sticks. He's big enough, he's old enough to carry a load of wood. And as he's walking, what does he say? We've got the wood, we've got the fire, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Where did that question come from? Had he not seen his father Abraham worship God enough times to know that there's something missing on this occasion? We've offered sacrifices to God before. And we've had wood and we've had fire, but we've always had a lamb. where's the animal now? Of course, we know that Isaac was the one who was to be put on that altar, and we don't read anywhere in the text where he puts up a fight with his father. Talk about Abraham's faith. What about Isaac on this occasion? But let's look at let's take it this just a little bit different direction. How about you and I as we are raising our young children? Do we worship with our children enough? Do we take our children to worship enough that they can notice when something's missing? Can they notice when there's something missing, when there's something amiss in the practice of religion unto God? Have we shared our faith with our family? Great men and women of faith, they share their faith with other people, but they know how important it is that it starts right in the home and begins with the home and from there spreads outward. In Genesis chapter 18, whenever God visits Abraham as he is on his way to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he reveals why he is going to reveal this unto Abraham. It's a great statement about him. Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 through 19. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Why Abraham? Well, because of his faith, no doubt. But this passage tells us that God knew what kind of a father he was going to be. That he was going to teach his family. He was going to teach his children, and that was going to be passed on and on. And that's how his nation, his own special people, needed to begin. With a man who knew how to share his faith. The challenge is on us. Do we have a faith that is shared, or do we have a faith that is locked away, that we keep quiet in this world of darkness and sin and peer pressure? Do we share our faith? Abraham challenges us with that. Another thing we see about Abraham that we did focus on this morning in the Bible class hour is that his faith was an obedient faith. James chapter 2 tells us that even an unlimited, unshakable, shared faith isn't going to do us any good until it is expressed in obedience. Let's turn to James chapter 2 and let's read these verses. Sometimes we scan over them for the sake of time, but let's read through these verses. Let's look at them. James chapter 2, starting at verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Let's pause right here in our reading. James is writing to Christians who aren't doing what their faith should be telling them to do. We are to obey God, not rest on our laurels, not just get baptized and sit on the pew and wait for the train to take us to heaven. No, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he created beforehand, that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 tells us. We are to obey God. Our faith is to be expressed, and our faith is validated by our obedience. Now, what example is given as evidence of this? The very example that we're studying this morning, Abraham offering his son Isaac. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. That scripture that says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That was done whenever God told him that his descendants would be so numerous they could not be counted. Abraham believed it. But it wasn't until Mount Moriah that righteousness was fulfilled. God knew it was going to happen. He accounted it to him, but it didn't actually happen until his faith was expressed in obedience. And the same thing applies to all of us. Man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Abraham's faith led him to offer up his son Isaac. Let's look at Hebrews. Turn just a couple pages back to Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. The Hebrew writer supplies some things for us that Moses doesn't tell us as he's recording this in Genesis chapter 22. When this thought ever occurred to Abraham, we don't know. Was it during the night before he left? Was it during the three-day journey as they were traveling to the mountain? We don't know, but the Hebrew writer says, as he told the two young men, the lad and I are going to go up on that mountain and worship, and we are coming back to you. Now, Abraham knew he was going up there, and he was going to sacrifice his son. So how could Abraham say, we will come back to you? Because Abraham believed the promise that it was through that son that he was going to have many descendants. So that son was going to have to live somehow. He was going to have to come down from that mountain. What's amazing is we don't read anywhere from Genesis 1 to chapter 22 how the idea of God raising anyone from the dead. But somehow Abraham had that kind of faith that even as he plunged his knife into his son and took his life, that God would restore it because God had a promise to fulfill, and he hadn't fulfilled it yet. Now, that's faith. That's faith. I don't know that I can get my mind fully wrapped around everything that's involved in that. That is great faith. But it was expressed in obedience. It didn't mean a thing until Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went and did what God told him to do. What is God telling you to do today in his word that you're not doing? What is God calling upon you to do as a spouse, as a child, as a parent, as an employee, as a neighbor, as an alien sinner who needs to become a Christian? What is God telling you to do that you're not doing? Your faith is not justifying you until it is expressed in works of obedience. Finally, we're going to see this morning that Abraham's faith was a rewarded faith. As we saw in James chapter 2 and verse 21, Abraham was justified by works and not by faith only. Justified means that he is pronounced innocent. Now, Abraham sinned. He had sin. And he was pronounced innocent. He was found innocent or justified, in the way some have put this, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. When we're justified, yes, we have sin, but it's just as if we never had. He was justified by his faith, but also he was honored because of his faith. There on Mount Moriah, after his hand is stayed, and a ram is found caught in a thicket, and that ram is offered up as a sacrifice in the place of Isaac, then there's the repetition of the promise that many nations were going to come from Abraham, that he was going to be a blessing to many, to the entire earth, through those descendants, through those nations that would come from him. He was honored. How about our faith? How is our faith rewarded? Well, we aren't promised a son like Abraham was. We aren't promised that we'll have children. But what we are promised is that we can become children of God. That promise is made to us in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, that we can be called children of God. And what a great blessing that is. We're not promised that a nation will come from us. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, we are promised that we can be a part of a holy nation. But if we are people of faith, as Abraham was, then we can be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If we are the people of faith, the faith of Abraham, then eventually we're going to see the end of our faith. Now, Abraham lived and he died before he saw the fulfillment of the promises of God. And we will live, unless the Lord returns, we will live and we will die before we see our victory over death and our entrance into heaven. But that's the end of our faith. That's the reward of our faith. That's what we are remaining faithful for, the salvation of our souls. What do we learn as we look at this event in the life of Abraham, and as we take a look at his great faith that we are to imitate? We learn that God will do everything that he has promised to do. Every promise that he has made in his word to us, he will fulfill. We learn also that we have to wait for God to do his thing in his way at his time, that our faith must trust in unseen things and withstand tests that will come. Our faith must be shared with others. Our faith avails us nothing in eternity until it has moved us to obedience in this life. And we learn that our faith will bring us a reward, that God will reward the faith. A few weeks ago, we had our vacation Bible school. And there was a song that was requested more than any other that week. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Let's be people of faith, learning from our Father Abraham. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, I know you've got that faith. I know you believe, but you've got to do something with it. You've got to act upon it. You've got to obey the gospel. Confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You can rise walking in the newness of life. And you can join us following in the footsteps of Father Abraham in faith. Following in the footsteps of Christ, who alone leads us back to the Father. You need to respond to the invitation. Would you please come? As together we stand.